Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Governor Mike Dunleavy has a new chief of staff. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that former State Senate President Ben Stevens is replacing Tuckerman Babcock, who stepped down to become a senior policy advisor. Babcock, who previously served as chairman of Dunleavy's transition team and before that chaired the Alaska Republican Party, said in a statement that he asked for the move. Babcock has been a lightning rod for administration critics. Three former state workers named him along with Dunleavy in lawsuits alleging they were unconstitutionally fired. Stevens has served as a policy advisor to Dunleavy, focusing on transportation, legislation, and fishing. Stevens was once investigated for corruption by federal authorities. The FBI raided Stevens' offices in 2006, along with those of at least five other lawmakers. Attention on Stevens focused on consulting work he did for oil field services company Vico while he was in the Senate. The payments totaled more than $240,000 over 5 years. At a different lawmaker's trial in 2007, a Vico executive said on the witness stand that he had bribed Stevens and another fellow senator, John Cowdery. Prosecutors never charged Stevens with a crime, and he has always denied wrongdoing. The last of three West Valley High School football players hospitalized in a July 26th near-drowning incident has been released. As KUAC's Robin reports, football practice resumed yesterday, and more information is coming out about what happened during last Friday's swimming pool training session.
Wednesday was the first time the West Valley High School football team came together since the incident on Friday, July 26. Players attended a preseason registration meeting with their parents to check through health and consent forms they had submitted online and to hear school officials explain sports policies for eligibility and attendance. Assistant Coach Norm Davis has taken over for now. Also there were investigators from the district's risk management office who told parents they would like to talk to the children about what they had witnessed Friday evening. The investigators scheduled appointments with players who attended a training exercise at the university's pool, which the team had rented for a couple of hours that night. Various witness accounts describe that exercise as all the team members getting into the pool, fully clothed, each wearing a hoodie or a sweater, then removing the hoodie while in the water. At some point, swimmers began shouting for help, and before the coaching staff and the lifeguard on duty could get all the players out of the pool, three had sunk to the bottom unconscious. They were pulled out, given CPR, and taken to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital by ambulance. They were treated overnight. One was released on Saturday, the second discharged on Sunday, and the last on Tuesday. School district statements describe the training as a team-building exercise and a, quote, optional preseason activity, unquote, hosted by the football coaching staff. But some students and parents say the training was required in order to get on the team. District investigators and the UAF Police Department are interviewing witnesses. Monday evening, the school board will review the incident and likely have an executive session to talk with legal staff. A public comment section is scheduled at the start of the meeting. For the students on the team, the season has started. After yesterday's business meeting, they had their first afternoon practice. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Wildlife advocates are again trying to get the state to halt the harvest of wolves along the northeastern boundary of Denali National Park. The group Alaskans for Wildlife has petitioned the Game Board and Commissioner of Fish and Game to close the area where park-based wolves are sometimes killed by hunters and trappers. A take the 60-plus petition signers say contributes to fewer wolves along the Denali National Park Road.
People that are hoping to see some wolves and, you know, you have to tell them you're going to have to go down to Yellowstone.
Alaskans for Wildlife board member Sean McGuire of Fairbanks points to regular wolf sightings when lands northeast of the park, known as the Stampede Corridor, were closed to wolf harvest for a decade prior to 2010.
Almost 50% of visitors saw wolves. It was a place you spend a couple days, you're going to get to see wolves.
The proportion of Denali bus trips where passengers saw wolves went from 45% in 2010 to a low of 4% in 2013, and then 17% last summer, with numbers trending back lower again this year.
Viewership has gone down, down, down.
That could all change next year if one of these eastern packs dens close to the road.
State Game Board Chair Ted Spraker of Soldotna maintains natural factors are more at play in determining that, and closing the Stampede area would only unnecessarily add to the park.
A lot of Alaskans feel like enough is enough, whether it's just a handful of hunters and trappers that will be impacted, that this is a 6-million-acre park, and that's large enough.
It's long been contested whether the Stampede area should be protected because it's not just any acreage, according to Denali National Park biologist Bridget Borg.
Important to the Denali caribou herd, especially in the spring, which results in a lot of the wolf movements out in that area as well.
The Denali spring wolf count was 70, in line with the 20-year average, and Borg says the harvest of individual Denali wolves in the Stampede area does not significantly affect Denali's overall wolf population, but notes that the losses can have a significant impact on more viewable road area wolf packs.
If you lose a breeding individual from a pack during that pre-breeding or breeding season, may represent the loss of the reproductive potential for that pack.
Borg says there were more road area wolves and viewing was much better during the buffer years, but emphasizes other factors may have been involved. Borg says she can't comment on the current closure petition, but says the park has a proposal that will go before the game board next year, which would curtail wolf harvests during the spring breeding season in the northeast boundary area, where wolf hunting opens August 10th and trapping starts in November. The game board has 30 days to take action on the petition. A spokesperson for the Fish and Game Commissioner's Office says the petition is under review. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly has a new member. Meeting last night, the panel selected Mindy O'Neill to serve 3 months remaining in the term of outgoing member Andrew Gray, who's resigned to move out of state. A former legislative aide who has volunteered several years on the Borough Planning Commission, O'Neill was selected from 5 candidates interviewed by the Assembly to fill the spot.
I've worked really hard in this community to be able to understand different voices and have a vision for where we're going.
O'Neill says she believes in local government, but not necessarily big government. She's running to retain the seat in the October 1st election. 2 other candidates, Jeffrey Rensel and Lachlan Gillespie, are also running. Cool, wet weather has prompted the federal government to lift a ban on campfires. An announcement from the Bureau of Land Management rescinds the ban on all BLM-managed lands in interior and south-central Alaska, with 2 exceptions. Fires remain illegal in an area of federal land off Gilmore Trail, northeast of Fairbanks, and in the Campbell Tract in Anchorage. A similar campfire ban covering state, private, and municipal lands in much of the interior region was earlier lifted by the Alaska Division of Forestry. I'm Dan Bross.